Let us commence the worship of God by singing the hymn on the hymn sheet, which is the metrical version of Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, Him serve with fear, His praise forth tell. Come ye before Him and rejoice. The hymn on the hymn sheet. From the Word of God is firstly part of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and then the fifth chapter of the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. Acts chapter 16, commencing to read at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed. And now the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we need thee now to teach us how to pray. How we need, Lord, thee to indict that real, wrestling, fervent prayer in our hearts. May we not be left to pray as the Pharisee did, thus with ourselves. But oh, may there be in our hearts that breath of real prayer. Oh, as we come before thee, we would come pleading the precious name and the precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. We pray for that sweet access at the throne of grace. We may spread before thee all our need, all our burdens, all our concerns. Help us to leave them at thy dear feet. Oh Lord, as we gather at this evening hour, oh, we pray that thou wilt be the master of assembly. We may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence both in our hearts and within these walls. We may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Oh, we pray thou wilt break down the hard clods of our hearts. Grant to us, Lord, that broken heart and contrite spirit, the heart that trembleth at thy word. And, O Lord, we come as a poor, needy sinner, needing thy mercy, needing thee to wash us and cleanse us from all our many, many sins. Oh, we would pray for that God-given repentance to be given to us, that repentance that needeth not to be repented of. And oh, we would be found as true penitent sinners at thy dear feet. Help us to plead as the publican did. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, thou knowest how we need thy mercy. We need thy pardoning love. Unworthy as we are, Lord, we seek for grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Oh, ever make us as nothing, dear Lord. The precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. And oh, may we know more and more of thy preciousness and suitability, suited to every sinner's case. And oh Lord, how we need thee to teach us continually. We seem so often so slow to learn. We would pray with the psalmist, that I know not, teach thou me. Lord, we pray that thou wilt go before us each in life's journey. Lord, we are solemnly reminded as we come to another harvest season Another year of our short lives has passed. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt fit us and prepare us for the great day of death. We know not, Lord, what a moment or an hour will bring forth. Thou hast said, be ye also ready. Oh, we pray to be like the wise virgins and have our lamps filled and trimmed and that vital oil in the vessel, waiting for thy coming. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from ourselves. Deliver us from the powers of Satan. Deliver us from this bewitching world which has to death 10,000 hurled. We pray thou wilt go before us in all that concerns us, Lord. Give us that faith to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hope to stay. Oh, as we gather at this Thanksgiving time to praise thee, Lord, for the gracious mercies thou dost bless us with, those blessings that are eternal, and the blessings of providence, and we would praise thee for thy great mercies to thy cause here, and to us each personally, Lord, that we are not in a deserved hell, or where hope can never come. Oh, we pray that thou wilt lead us forth by the right way. Grant us, Lord, more and more grace that we may endure to the end. We might hold on our way. Pray especially, Lord, for those that have gathered this evening. Thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. O Lord, do come and set at liberty those in bondage. Oh, that thou wilt say to the wicked jailer sin, loose him and let him go. And those, dear Lord, that are walking in darksome paths and the way seems mysterious, we do beg of thee thou wilt shine forth and grant light and liberty to those that walk in darkness. May they see that great light. And Lord, we pray for those that are tried and tempted, and thou wilt deliver them from the tempter's power. Oh, do cast Satan out, Lord. Thou knowest how active he is and what a real foe he is to thy dear children. And oh, we pray that thou wilt undertake for those that have got great concerns and those who have got impossible things, Lord. May faith be given to believe. There is nothing impossible with thee or too hard for thee. And, O Lord, do bless the dear children, the dear babes, those that gather here continually, and others, Lord, our own grandchildren, and each of the little ones. Remember the dear young people. Do guide them, direct them and help them. And oh, we pray that thou wilt work wondrously thy grace and fear in each of the young. And oh, may they be kept from this world, kept from all the dangers there are. And may they be raised up, Lord, to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. And oh, that thou wouldst work. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to build up the churches. Thou knowest, Lord, the low state of Zion. And we pray for thy richest blessing to be poured out here upon this cause of truth. And oh, may there be those constrained to follow thee, and those that are dead in trespasses and in sin quickened into life. And may there be an awakening in this village of many sinners round to come and fill the place. We pray thou wilt pour thy spirit out upon our own flock and upon the causes represented here this evening. And may there be seen the wonders God alone can do. Lord, the power's thine. Ever keep us from limiting thy power. And oh, we pray for the deacons here, thou wilt guide and direct them and bless them. Remember one unable to be with us in his weakness and in affliction, and others that are laid aside, Lord. We pray for that needed healing and restoring mercies. For Lord, thou hast said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And oh, do send that needed healing to those, Lord, that are afflicted by sin in their souls. May they know that sweet healing mercy. Bless thy dear servants. We pray for those with us, that thou would help them in all their labours. And bless thy word through them. May they be granted many souls to their hire and seals to their ministry. And may they sweetly prove they have not laboured in vain nor spent their strength for naught. Lord, may we not labour in vain this evening nor spend our strength for naught. Thou knowest our weaknesses, our afflictions. And Lord, thou alone knowest our great need. And we pray that thou would in mercy remember this nation and bring us as a land yet to fear thee and to seek thy holy name. And may God the gracious leaders be raised up to guide this land aright in thy sight. Lord, remember our Queen and the royal family too. And may they know those real spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Remember all we would and should pray for, Lord, especially those that are persecuted throughout the earth. Many, Lord, under the threat of death. We beg of thee to put down all the evil and violent men. And may there yet be peace in those war-stricken lands. Now, O Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. We pray for that gracious anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Thou wilt pour in that we might pour out. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Help thy dear servant that usually takes these services be with him in Canada, and may have that special anointing to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ there. And may the souls of thy people be fed with living bread. Grant a true spirit of hearing this night, and touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar, as we seek to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, begging that thou wilt pardon what we've uttered amiss and all our many, many sins, and help us, dear Lord, to praise thee for thou art worthy of all honour, all glory, and all praise. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 176. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name, let all our powers agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. Hymn 176.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 18. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse the 18th. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The dear apostle, in writing to the church here in Thessalonica, gives them some very gracious exhortations how they should live, how they should walk, how they should act. And our text is found among them. You'll find in each of his epistles to the churches and both to Timothy, we find him exhorting them to thanksgiving. We think of what he said to the church at Ephesus. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in writing to the Philippians, he exhorts them, the same. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And one feels so often, and we could name several others, that he speaks the same blessed language, but one feels so often we come so short, don't we, in giving thanks. But here the apostle, in the sacred words in our text, exhorts the church in Thessalonica, in everything give thanks. And I seek for the Lord's help and grace to bring this before you. Firstly, we need to give thanks that we're not in a deserved hell. When you think of what we deserve because of our sin, how we need to bless his holy name, that he's not cut us off as cumbers of the ground. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How many times do you give thanks that, dear Jeremiah, you see, it says in everything give thanks. That doesn't just mean when we are favoured and abundantly blessed. It means in those times of adversity, times of affliction. And we think of dear Jeremiah when he was shut up in prison, how he spoke of, I am not worthy. And Jacob knew it too. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his goodness. And then Jeremiah in the prison, how he could bless the Lord for the favours the Lord had given him, even in that prison. So he says, in everything give thanks. May we lay that to heart this evening, in everything. those things that seem to be against you. And that is why we read together this evening that sacred passage of Paul and Silas in the prison. You know, man by nature would soon rebel, wouldn't they, for being there. We've got an old deceitful heart that's full of rebelliousness and sin. We don't find in the heart of Paul and Silas any particle of rebelliousness at all. They were there put in prison because of their ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was the one thing that is needful for sinners. And there in that prison, they weren't rebelling against being there, were they? Solemn thing, rebelliousness, you know. We're told in the Word of God, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Do you know what it is to be like Paul and Silas there? What did they do? They prayed. They were at the throne of grace. But not only this, they sang praises to God. They got something to thank the Lord for, didn't they? And what did they thank him? Why did they thank him as they did? It was because the Lord was so with them and favouring them. In their souls, though their feet were fast in the stocks, though they were beaten sore, they were giving praise to their God because he was with them, dwelling in their heart. They had sweet communion with him. I don't wish to read further into that than we are permitted by the Holy Spirit, but I do feel that while they were in that prison and while they were under such aggression from those that put them there, they had a beautiful view of the dear Redeemer in what he endured. They were suffering for his name's sake. And you know, if we have a glimpse by faith of what the Saviour endured in those things that seem to be against us, it'll melt the hardest marble of your heart, and out of a soft heart you can truly praise and bless his holy name. They could praise him for even that they were even in that prison. Now that goes absolutely contrary to nature, doesn't it? But you see, this was the way the Lord would have it be. In everything, give thanks. I don't know what you may be in this evening, but may this be a word in season to your soul and mine. In everything, give thanks. Not in just in the times of blessing and favour, but in the times when we walk in adversity. And that's a very sacred place, you know, when the Lord makes the very bitter things sweet. And we can praise his holy name. We can truly give thanks. So he says, in everything give thanks. Now, secondly, there may be those, when I name the text, that immediately you say, oh well, you begin to sink in your feelings, especially if you're in a low place and you don't feel you can give thanks. My mind goes to dear David when in Psalm 42 and 43 he was in the depths, in his soul. And there's no trouble like soul trouble. you think of what he was enabled to say there. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" There was a reason for it. There may be one here tonight, and I would lovingly say this to you. There are those things that cast you down. There's your sin. That casts you down, doesn't it? There's all the unbelief in us that casts us down. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain." And then there may be, like with David, those many enemies that were attacking him. Oh, it cast him down. And then it may be that you're in an affliction's pathway and you're cast down. You may say, "If only I could give thanks." But then David goes further. There may be other things in providence and so on. We may name a list that cast the sinner down. The hidings of the Lord's face, his correcting hand, and so we may go on. But he goes further. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" There's much to disquiet your poor heart, isn't it? Your old nature, your deceitful heart, the hidden evils within. But he doesn't leave it there. And this is the point I want to press home with those of you who are cast down. He says, "Hope thou in God." What a gracious exhortation. "Hope thou in God." Where's your hope tonight? David's hope was fixed firm upon his God. He knew what it was to be able to say, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hope thou in God." That's the only place he could hope. It was no use him hoping in himself. It's no use you hoping in yourself, because you'll surely fail. It's no use him hoping in any man or any arm of flesh. "Hope thou in God." And then he goes further. "For I shall yet praise him." Faith in gracious exercise, believing the hour would come when he would truly be able to give thanks. He would truly be able to praise the Lord's holy name. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." And faith believed it, you know. Oh, it did. And I say, for your soul's encouragement tonight, poor soul, in everything, and you're about to look back, and it's sweet, you know, to look back and see how the Lord brought him into that place and then brought him to the place where he could praise the Lord even for those dark hours and those distressing hours. We read, don't we, in Paul's letter to the Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his divine purpose. Work together. And you see, when you think of that with David, it was all worked together and God was to work it for good. And he could truly give thanks for the health of my countenance and my God, he said. In everything, excuse me, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But then, let us look at it regarding the things of providence. Do we know what it is to truly give thanks for the harvest? Oh, we think of many godly husbandmen over the years that have gone out and fell before the Lord in the harvest field and praised his holy name and given thanks. The Lord has given a harvest, provided once again, fulfilled, you see, his sweet promise, which we tried to look at this afternoon, seed time and harvest. And when that harvest day comes, oh, to give thanks. We noticed this afternoon, didn't we, of dear Hannah, Hezekiah, dear Mary Magdalene. They knew the sowing time, but they knew what it was to have the harvest, and they could truly give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, you think of the wonders of providence. I know many say, well, we don't want a providential religion, and in many ways that is true, but one's had to prove over the years that providence and grace unite. So often the Lord will bring us into things in providence and favour us to in our souls in them. The teaching there is. But let us look at it. It has helped in a few ways. In everything give thanks. You think for our daily bread. How many times do we sit down and say the grace at our meal table, and how many times do we know really what it is to give thanks? Well, when we are truly hungry, we shall know what it is. If the Lord provides the daily bread for us, we'll know what it is to give thanks. Oh, we will. I think of that dear old couple many years ago down in Essex. In my early days in the ministry, we used to go down there a lot, and one of the old saints that's been gone many, many years now told me of a dear old couple that used to attend the chapel, and they hardly had 2 pence to rub together, and many times they hadn't enough money to buy even their daily food. And this particular day, the dear man said to his wife, "What are we going to have for our dinner?" She said, "Well, we've got nothing in the house, only a slice or two of bread." But she said, "You know, the Lord has shown me he will provide our dinner." And within a little while, a knock came at the door. And a person that they didn't know at all brought them the a meal for the dear lady. She said, "Well, I said he would provide." And she said, "You know, he'll bring you one to her husband shortly." And then within a few minutes, the second meal came. And they just fell before the Lord in true thanksgiving and praise. Their very soul leapt for joy how the Lord had provided. You think how he provided for the children of Israel through the wilderness. You know, really, the faithfulness of God is blessed. You look how he sent, didn't he? Each day, that manna from heaven, and double on the Saturday for the double for the prior to the Sabbath day. Oh, they got something to thank the Lord for, didn't they? I think back in our early days, you know, when children were small and that we haven't much to get along with. And, you know, I look back and I think how wonderfully the Lord used to supply our need. And, you know, it's very humbling, it is. We can truly give thanks. Oh, to be brought there, you see. And the Lord knows how to bring us there to give thanks. Oh, he does. And he knows just how to humble our hearts so we can give thanks. When is it we can really give thanks? When we got a tender and a broken heart, we're melted by his goodness. You think of that beautiful promise the Lord spoke to dear Moses, excuse me, of old, when he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. I will make it pass before thee. And you may be concerned about the future in your soul, in your family, in the things of providence. It may be concerning Zion, concerning the future, concerning your family. I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. And you know, if the Lord breathed that into your poor heart, one of the gracious effects of it will be, it'll melt you and you'll be so humbled, and you're from a humble heart, you'll be able to give thanks. Oh, you will. But let us go further. Think of dear Elijah under the juniper tree, how the Lord brought him there. There he was, fleeing from a woman, Jezebel. But oh, look how the Lord provided. There were the cakes baking on the coals. The dear man fearing for his life. But oh, how the Lord wonderfully spoke to him, didn't he? Through his angel, arise. And eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And oh, the heart of dear Elijah could truly give thanks in everything, give thanks. And then look at him at the brook Cherith, and how they sent the ravens to feed him. Those ravens that, was the hymn writer said, would rather have devoured than have given. But the Lord had sent them, you see, to supply his need. And oh, Elijah could give thanks. But then think of him when the brook dried up, to go into Zarephath. For there I have commanded. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? A widow woman to sustain thee there. And going back to one's early days, I think especially when I first took the pastorate at Ashwell in 1973, you know how many times to pay the mortgage and to pay our way along, you know, it was hard going. But you know, on every occasion we were in need, the Lord opened his hand. And you know, when I look back in it, the Lord brought us to be dependent, you see, upon him. It's not easy for the flesh. Now, you think in your soul, in your pathway tonight, are you dependent upon the Lord? Elijah was. Continually dependent upon the Lord, and the Lord used even that widow woman to sustain him. She was in the hands of God, and look how the Lord proved to him the wonderful promise. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord send rain upon the earth. Oh, the faithfulness of God. In everything give thanks. The small things, the great things of grace, in everything. But then, let's look at it another way and come deeper. Paul, in his letter to the churches, what does he say? Those precious words, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his beloved Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know what it is to give thanks for the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer? You think of dear Simeon. He could truly give thanks, couldn't he, for the glorious coming of Christ. All his hope, all his salvation was in the dear Redeemer. Where's yours and where's mine tonight? Is he the sure foundation stone to your poor soul? Are you resting wholly upon him, and am I? And you know, if the dear Redeemer has made precious to you, you'll know what it is to give thanks. Oh, dear Simeon could truly bless the Lord, couldn't he? You think of when they brought in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, not only did he take him up in his arms naturally, he took him up in his arm, the arms of faith. Christ was his only hope, his only salvation. He got a good religion, you know, dear Simeon had. And not only this, he'd waited for that day. And waited for the day when he would be able to give thanks. And then think of dear Anna, the prophetess. Oh, she could truly give thanks too for that glorious day. But then look at the wise men. What did they say to Herod? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and art come to worship him. They wanted to find him, didn't they? They didn't find him in Pharaoh, in Herod's palace, did they? They didn't find him there. But where did they find him? In Bethlehem's manger, in that lowly manger. Yet they viewed him as their dear Redeemer, their Saviour, their all. And they knew what it was to go on their way giving thanks, didn't they? In everything give thanks. And then think of the shepherds abiding in the field. They knew what it was to praise the blessed Redeemer and give him all the praise and thanks to God for sending his beloved Son. You see, in him is all that you'll need, poor soul, for time and for eternity. But let me come low, is your cry, give me Christ or else I die. Is he the one thing that is needful to you? Because if he is, you'll know what it is to give thanks. Because in him a rich fullness dwells, and that fullness your soul can draw from, and he can supply your every need. In everything, give thanks. And then we need to give thanks for so many things, don't we? Not just in providence, but in the vital things of God. And let me pursue this as help further. Oh, to give thanks for the love of God. Do you know what it is when he's melted your heart with his love and you verily from the depths of your inmost soul can give thanks and praise to his holy name? The love of Christ to sinners, the love of God to sinners. We think of that beautiful promise the Lord spoke to dear Jeremiah. And may he whisper it in your soul. I knew a dear lady many years ago, you know, she was in such distress of soul, longing to know that she was one of God's dear children. And that dear lady told me from her own lips just what happened. She said, I went in my bedroom. I was, she said, fearing I'd sink into despair. She said, and I just fell before the Lord on my knees to beg of him for mercy, to beg of him to reveal himself to me. And she said, he spoke audibly from heaven those precious words, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And she said, my soul was just filled with the love of Christ. And she said, all I could do was give praise and thanksgiving to his holy name. She said, I felt as I wanted to praise him forever. Do you know what it is? Well, these souls that will praise him here and give true thanks will know what it is to praise him for all eternity. Oh, they will. But then, to give thanks for the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, to give thanks that he quickens sinners into life. If he's quickened you, poor soul, you've got something to thank him for. You're not what you once were. You're not left dead in trespasses and in sin. You know, well did Paul write to the Ephesians, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. They were strangers to God, but now fellow citizens with the saints. Oh, they could truly give thanks, couldn't they? That he had quickened them and been left to run in endless ruin down to destruction, saved by his grace. Oh, the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And we need it continually, don't we? How soon we become dead. How soon we become lifeless. How soon we become unexercised. Oh, the need of the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And when he quickens us, we can truly give thanks. Well, could the psalmist pray, quicken me, O God? And we need it, don't we? Those of us that feel the deadness and the unexercised state. Oh, that need of quickening. And then think of the wondrous work of the Holy Spirit conveying, and it's very sweet to me, this is, you know, he conveys the blessings of heaven down into sinners' hearts so they can truly give thanks. The blessings of pardon, the blessings of peace, the blessings of his grace. And as they're conveyed down, you see, from heaven, they're conveyed right into the sinner's heart. And oh, the result of it is in everything they have to give thanks. And then it's the blessed work of the Holy Spirit to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Oh, a revealed Christ. Is your prayer, if I may come low tonight, is your prayer, Jesus, reveal thyself to me? Well, if that's your petition, poor soul, your soul's longing, the hour will come when he will reveal himself to you. Manifest thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. In everything, give thanks. But then, oh, we need to give thanks for the sweet promises of God. Those promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Those promises that he sealed home into your soul so you can truly say this evening, they're not just print on the page, they're life and power to you. And they're written in on the fleshy tables of your heart, and not all the powers of Satan or the adversary can ever take them away. I remember being in ever so much darkness in Seoul back in 1962, and I remember driving down Goudhurst Hill in Kent, and I went down that hill, you know, and I felt I was just going to sink into despair. The further I went down it, I felt the adversary said, now you'll get to the bottom and you'll end up in hell. And you know, as I went down there in the depths of soul trouble, the Lord whispered that couplet of the hymn into my soul, and I've never forgot it. I've bound the up secure midst all the rage of hell. And oh, poor soul, you've got something to praise him for if he's bound you up and bound me up. These souls, you see, he's bound up. They're bounding up in his eternal love and in the arms of God. And oh, how it lifted me right out of all the despair I felt to be in. And oh, I could do no more than give thanks unto God for such a word. Do you know what it is to thank the Lord for our hymn book sometimes? A couplet in there or a line in there, and it goes right into your soul. And you have to give thanks. And then to give thanks for his holy word. Where would we be without the word of God? You think in your heart, in your pathway tonight, where would you be if you hadn't got the word of God to go to? If you couldn't hear it preach, you think of those poor people in many countries that have never heard the word of God, and yet there are those miles from here in far off lands that long for the word of God. We know the Lord can speak audibly to them. We know he can reveal himself to them, but you think in times of need of direction, in times of need of comfort, in times of need when you've been in black despair and the Lord has spoken through his word, made it life and power to you. In everything, give thanks. And then do you thank him for his sweet presence? Or you think back through the year, you know, when we come to these harvest seasons and anniversary occasions, you know, it's a time, I've often said, of looking back, but it's a time of looking forward. And as we look back tonight through the year and praise the Lord for his goodness to us and to you as a people, in everything give thanks. Have you not got those things you can look back and praise him for? for his sweet presence with you. He hasn't left you to run in endless ruin. He hasn't left you to sink into despair. In everything, give thanks. But I must leave it because of the time, but I just want a brief word on this last part. You think of this sacred first part, in everything, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking through the apostle. It wasn't Paul's just words to the church in Thessalonica. In everything, give thanks. And what does he do? And it's a most vital point tonight. He doesn't leave it there. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, he endorses it with that beautiful word. For this is the will of God, God's holy will, that you should give thanks. The will of God in Christ Jesus. You see, all blessings flow through him. Every blessing descends and flows through the dear Redeemer. We quoted earlier, in him a rich fullness dwells. And what a mercy, that fullness will never run dry. In Christ Jesus, and it is in his blessed name, is all your hope, all your salvation, and it's in his name that we must give the praise. He must have the glory, the honour and praise. But then in conclusion, what does he say? Concerning you. Now don't look at the next person in the seat, think it's them. It's personal. Concerning you. And when I say that lovingly tonight, that means every one of us here. Concerning you. And may the Holy Spirit bring it home to each one of us. Concerning you. It's so easy to say, oh, well, that applies to somebody else. But he says here, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if nothing this evening, I preach this to myself. Amen.
The collections today are for the Oakington Chapel Building Repair Fund. Let us close with hymn number 200. Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, I still had lived estranged from God, till hell had proved the destined place of my deserved but dread abode. Hymn number 200. Thank you.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it on the chapel doorstep. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping, each one of us this evening. And Lord, do help thy dear servants on the morrow. Grant that gracious anointing, and they may preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And do help us, a poor, needy sinner. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.